night. Well, you know, I forgot to do something, so we better do it right now. This is the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Now return you to the hour of the time. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Yes, good evening, Bill.
How are you?
Good, this is Bob in Montana.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, I didn't know I was on yet, but what I wanted to bring up, I was watching CNN last Saturday. Occasionally, I'll check them out and see what propaganda they're putting out. And they had some clips from both the Republican and Democrat conventions. And there was Clinton talking about building his bridge to the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
for the bridge to the future. But what really got me was when there was Dole talking about a bridge to America, mm-hmm. but only the unknowing call myth.
Yeah.
And that's, bridge to America is apart from the Partnership for Peace.
Yeah. And Clinton talked about the sunset and preparing our children for the dawn. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
they're all talking the same language.
It sure appears that way.
It's the language right out of the temple that has no windows.
There's one other point that, I caught some time back your broadcast when you talked about the Oklahoma Memorial where they gave out the single rose, and and if you caught the Value Jet Memorial for the unidentified ones, they had the single rose.
Yeah, and the same thing for the memorial service of TWA Flight 800.
The Atlanta bombing victim also.
Yes, and they're prone to show a single red rose sticking in the sand with the water lapping around it and all kinds of stuff.
Right. It's when you start seeing some of this stuff, you see more and more all the time.
Yeah, it's a symbol of international socialism. When they flaunt it like that, they're saying, hey, we won. We got you.
Yeah. Well, that was basically all I wanted to bring up tonight. I do enjoy your program. I've listened now for a few months, but this is the first time I've ever called.
You know, it's amazing how this works. When I open the phones, it used to be if I opened the phone would be ringing whether I was taking calls or not. And if I ever opened the phones, the board was full all night long, and many people could never even get it to ring. They just hit the redial, and all they ever got was busy signals all over the world. And now that we've gone off WWCR, I open the phones, and it's like nobody wants to call. But when after the first couple of callers called, then the phone is ringing all the time. Is that a peculiar trait of the satellite audience?
That could be. I know when I tried a couple times tonight, I had a busy signal first. So. But anyway, I do appreciate you, Bill, and thanks a lot for what you're doing.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the call-in number. It's always the call-in number unless I notify you otherwise. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, and you're on the air on 104.9.
104.9. Wonderful. Let me put that down here. Well,
it's a letter, so you'll be getting it.
104.9. That's where?
In Charleston, South Carolina.
Charleston, South Carolina. And the other one was from Norfolk, Virginia.
Right.
Okay, great. That's fantastic. How long have you been doing it?
Since March.
Since March. Wonderful. How big of an audience do you have?
I've identified probably maybe 40 people, and there are actually four or five that are out actually actively turning people on to it.
Uh-huh. Well, if you got 40 or 45 that you know of, you probably got a few hundred that you don't.
Probably, yeah.
Do you know the broadcast range of your station?
Probably 8 miles is a comfortable listening limit, and I can get it 15.
Well, if you've got it out that far, I bet you've easily got a few hundred listeners. No
well,
problem.
The potential's nice. There's probably 150,000 people in that range, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we'll get some postcards from Charleston, South Carolina, telling us that they're listening. You know, just to remind all of you, please send us a postcard right away telling us whether or not you're listening and whether you're listening on satellite or what station you're listening on. We don't need your name, address, or phone number. And tell us how many other people listen with you so that we can take an audience survey and send them to Harvest at P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925.
The proposition of a network is an exciting one, and we look forward to participating.
Good. I look forward to having you as an affiliate.
And that's really all I had, but I thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Right.
Good night. 520-333-4578 is the number. We're going to be getting into an awful lot of very serious information here over the next few weeks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Charles in Georgia.
Hey, Charles.
I just wanted to talk to you about the South a little bit. I don't believe that we're going to give up like the rest of the nation. I think we'll hold on to our guns and our Bill of Rights, and we might surprise you down here.
Well, you won't surprise me. I know about those Southern fellas and ladies, by the way. It can be pretty tough.
Well, I heard you talking about food a while ago. What do you recommend? What brand, and where can we find survival food?
Well, it doesn't matter what brand you get as long as it will last at least 5 to 10 years, and you need a good 2-year supply minimum for every person in your family. And we're going to be offering some of that on the Hour of the Time later. We have a source that is pretty good, nitrogen packed, and we also have a source of open pollinated seeds, which are the not the hybrids, but the real seeds that you need, and they're sealed in cans and will last a long time. And you can plant about 1 acre of land with this can of seeds, or actually 2 cans of seeds.
Great. One other thing, I don't think these guys are that tough. World Order guys?
Oh, they're not. They're a bunch of pansy, puke-faced, lying socialist scum, parasites, and that's why they need socialism, and that's why they need their New World Order. They can't exist in a world where they have to be responsible and fend for themselves. You're absolutely right. They're a bunch of pansy pussies, and that's the truth.
Well, if we've got a high percentage of military people on our side, plus
Well, the only thing they have going for them is the technology that they're using, which can be formidable. But there isn't an army on the face of this earth that can occupy the North American continent and win a guerrilla war against armed American citizens. Can't be done.
Well, I thank you. Please don't go to 1 hour, because a lot of us wait all day to hear your 2 hours, and it would be a real disappointment to have it cut in half.
Well, I won't, as long as people utilize the time when I open the phones. But if I got to sit here and make small talk, I'd rather be with my family.
I appreciate your time.
So to make sure that we don't go to 1 hour, just make sure when I open the phones that y'all start calling, y'all. And that's in honor of y'all Southern folks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Something that I have always noticed about the South is that it's completely different from anywhere else. When you go down South, people don't say, "Hi, Joe." They say, "Hey." Or they say, "Hey, Bill." And there's a lot more, an awful lot more to that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. You're sounding good tonight.
Thank you.
You did. It's about right up out of the mud.
Good. Well, somebody called me, one of the callers that called me about 3 minutes before the broadcast, and I almost went through the roof. I just hate it when people do that, but he managed to get in enough to know that that I should turn up the power for the audio level, and so I did that, and apparently that's what it needed.
Well, that's correct. Yesterday, when I was monitoring your broadcast, the video, you're pretty close to the video level, and it was interrupting your audio level. So I'd like to thank you. Your second hour, and whatever free time you got, I think it would be good if you had some guests on, if you can get some, that have some important stuff to say.
Well, we will be having guests, but you got to remember, this is all brand new, and we're sort of feeling our way and getting used to it, and I got to get used to doing what I'm supposed to do at the time I'm supposed to do it, and it's a little bit different than being on shortwave. Running your own network and doing 2 hours is something that we've never done before, so we will have guests. When we don't have guests, when we do have guests, we'll... see, there's a problem. I need another phone line, really, to have guests and take calls. And so we've got to handle that, too, and we're not sure we can get another phone line. Last time we asked for another phone line, they had to send equipment up here and dig trenches and put in new cables and stuff. So that was a hoot, and we'll see what we can do.
What happened to our Pledge of Allegiance?
Well, Pooh does it when she wants to do it, you see. I don't believe the Pledge of Allegiance is something a child should be forced to say every night. When she feels like saying it, then she does, and when she feels like being a co-host, then, if I can, I let her. But I never go in there and say, "Pooh, I know you don't want to do it, but get in there, you're going to say the pledge anyway." I don't do that to her.
Well, have a good evening, Tom. I'm going to let another caller get in there.
Okay, thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. There are things that Pooh has to do, whether she likes it or not, because that's part of growing up and learning and becoming disciplined and responsible. But saying the Pledge of Allegiance isn't one of those things on my broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. It's Monty from Vermont.
Hi, Monty. How are you? I've been getting your faxes, by the way.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm glad we can be helpful to you in some way.
Well, I think you probably will be.
Good. I had two things I wanted to discuss with you. One was the issue of jurisdiction.
Uh-huh.
I know you've done several different shows regarding the issue of jurisdiction. You've covered it pretty thoroughly. However, I think a lot of people, and I see this in my daily life, that people don't understand that it's one of the least understood issues that we can all come together and try to get educated on and understand it.
Well, that's because they don't understand at first what they're supposed to know by heart.
Yeah.
I don't understand how anyone can be an American and not know the Constitution inside out, backwards, forwards, and upside down. It's just beyond my understanding. It's a very short document. I mean, many people had to memorize the albatross, that big long poem in high school, but yet they never read the Constitution. And when you ask them if they read the Constitution, oh, it's too long, it's too complicated, I can't understand it. And somebody has really fooled them into believing that. It's a very simple document. And our founding fathers were geniuses when it comes to words. I mean, Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin, my gosh, you know, nobody today can hold a candle to them when it comes to the English language and using the right words and making sure that that they wrote what they meant to write and have it understood. So people need to get the Constitution and read it. And the first time, they should just sit down and read it without any thought of trying to figure out what it means. Just read it all the way through. And then they should go back, and then they should, you know, start with Article 1 and read Article 1 and then read it again and then put it down. And then the next day, go back and pick it up and go through Article 1 and make sure that you understand what it means in the context of what the forefathers intended. And to understand that, you have to read what they wrote back then, including the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, the constitutional debates, the books that were written about the Constitution by our forefathers and their peers. And then the meaning just pops out at you. It becomes obvious. There's nothing mysterious or hidden. And then when you've done all that, you realize that if you had just trusted that they meant what they said, you really understood it the first time you read it, and you didn't know it because somebody has taught you that it has to be interpreted and that there's hidden meanings and it's more complicated than what it is. And nothing, my friends, could be farther from the truth.
Yeah, all the words have meaning.
That's exactly correct. And you know, in the Constitution, it talks about jurisdiction, and it grants to the federal government certain powers. They cannot exceed those powers. They cannot take powers that are not granted to the government. All the powers that were not granted to the federal government and are not prohibited by the Constitution are left to the states and to the people respectively. If the states fail to take the power and exercise it, then the people have that power.
And they cannot assume a jurisdiction either.
That's right. They cannot assume a venue or a jurisdiction.
It was
the Constitution is very clear. It says, it says in there, for instance, they're moving the trial of Terry Nichols and Tim McVeigh to Colorado. But the Constitution clearly states that the trial must be held in the state where the crime was committed.
Well, there was one case of the United States Supreme Court that caught my attention that said that a court assuming a heretofore unknown jurisdiction was exerting nothing less than lawless violence.
That's correct.
I agree with that.
That's absolutely correct. And if that court takes a life or imprisons someone, then they have done nothing more than what a common criminal would do.
I just wish that we could.
We can, and we are making a big difference, and we're scaring the hell out of those puke-faced, nerd, sludge-bomb, socialist creeps in Washington, D.C.
I just wish that a lot of my fellow Americans would understand the issue of jurisdiction, and then they can worry about sovereignty, and then we can go on to the rest of it.
Well, first they have to understand that they're not as dumb as they've been taught.
Yeah.
You see, school nowadays, and for quite a while, has been teaching people that you're not good enough to do anything except hopefully get C's and get a job. And that's not true.
So I had a second thing I wanted to talk with you about as well. It goes back to Clinton's speech of building the bridges and Bob Dole building the bridges.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking right here at the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry from Mackey.
Mm-hmm.
The bridge builders of the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
There was a secret fraternity organized as a branch of the Traveling Freemasons.
Yes.
Now, would I be stretching too far to think that in a modern-day context that those Traveling Freemasons would be communist Freemasons? Am I stretching?
Absolutely. They are. They're called fellow travelers.
Right.
And you would be amazed who they are. I mean, Jeff Baker is a fellow traveler, and he uses that term all the time to talk to his other fellow travelers.
The entry says that they were devoted to the building of bridges and were known as pontifices,
uh-huh,
or bridge builders, from the root pontiff.
uh-huh.
such as like a pope.
Uh-huh. Well, remember what I told you about the, where this all begins.
Right. But I just wanted to bring that forward for some attention. The symbology is all there. You just got to know where to look once again.
It is all there.
And I would definitely say to people, if you can find it, grab Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. You'll want to refer to it every day for symbology.
If you really want to understand the mystery schools and who's destroying this country and bringing about world government, who's behind communism and socialism and despotism and Nazism and all of the things that have been bad in the world, if you can afford it, you need to buy the Mystery Babylon series right now while they're on sale. You need to send for our sale list. It is the first time that these people have been revealed from their beginning in the history of the world all the way up to the present time. All of their symbology, named by name, all of the disasters and catastrophes that they brought on the world and the whole works. All of their secret signs and symbols. It's all there. It represents over 25 years of my personal research, and I'm the only one in the history of the world who has ever unmasked them completely and forever.
The only place you'll hear about it is on the Hour of the Time.
That's right, or somebody who's rebroadcasting it.
Which I'm very thankful for, Bill, because you've totally opened my eyes to the Freemasons and their role in this whole thing.
Yeah, and the sad part about it is there are fathers, uncles, aunts, grandfathers, grandmothers, aunts, children, you know, brothers, sisters, and all this time we've been looking somewhere else for the great enemy. It's always been right here.
Yeah, it's bewildering once you get into it. Also, another good historical background to look up would be the nice thick tome from Henry Steele Commager, The Documents of American History.
Uh-huh.
It's got several United States Supreme Court cases in it and the roots of the American Revolution, right up through, including the Dred Scott case and several others.
Right.
Which is a nice, thick, fascinating book. That's another great one to grab as well. But on that note, I'll let you go.
Okay, and that's a great suggestion, by the way.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Was the number, and will be the number tomorrow. Yes, the book that he recommended is an excellent work. You should all get it. You should all be writing for the for our sale list, because we normally never do this except in about, usually about March. We hold our annual sale, and then we close out all the master tapes for the previous year, and it's a pretty good sale, and usually people take advantage of that to get the Mystery Babylon series and to get whatever tapes they need from the previous year. But we're doing something different this time. We're opening up all of the master tapes for all of the last 4 years and 3 or 4 months of the broadcast of the Hour of the Time, and they're all available, and they're all on sale. So I urge you to take advantage of this, because it's not ever going to happen again. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. My name's Sean. I'm calling from St. Louis.
Hi, Sean. How's St. Louis doing?
Oh, just regular old humidity and heat.
What can we do for you?
I was wondering if you'd seen any of the David Miller legal stuff that's out there.
I don't even know who David Miller is. Who is he?
He's from Wisconsin, and he's doing some teaching some legal technology, so to speak.
What do you mean, legal technology?
How to go into court and...
That's not technology. That's procedure.
Procedure.
Yeah.
Then, and his main thing is sticking to procedure only. And... for the most part, ignoring subject matter only when you have to, dealing with subject matter only in that much of it that you've got to tie to the procedure, but sticking to the procedure and fighting your battles in court based on solely the procedure.
Well, I know that in some instances that's exactly what you have to do. But I don't think that that would be a blanket remedy for all situations. There are some times when you do have to to address the subject, but it's on a case-by-case basis. I would never advise anybody to ignore completely the subject of the action and just proceed on a procedural basis, although the first steps in any legal action are all procedural and must be followed to the letter. Specifically, if you really know the true law, you can end these procedures very quickly simply by doing the right things at the right time.
That's sort of the idea I've gotten from studying this stuff. And
uh-huh.
I'm researching it and trying to get cases out of them so I can get transcripts and actually do serious studying into this to see if there's anything to it.
Well, good for you, because you know what a lot of people do? I go to these little three-day seminars where somebody gets up and tells them what's what and what they're supposed to do and hands out a bunch of blank forms that they're supposed to use. And then they all rush out and go into court and promptly get thrown into jail because they don't know their butt from a hole in the ground. What you're doing is exactly what everybody should do. You should never accept anything as being true or factual or right until you have thoroughly researched it and understand it and know whether it's right or wrong. And then, and only then, can you apply it. So I congratulate you.
All it takes is getting burned once, and then you learn.
Well, unfortunately, most people never learn. I'll tell you, sitting in my vantage point, dealing with as many people as I do on a daily basis, and watching how they go about screwing up their lives in this country, is just absolutely amazing. And they do it because they're all looking for a magic bullet that will cure all their ills, one that will alleviate them from all responsibility and all work and all research and all staying up late at night and any cost. Oh, heaven forbid if they have to put up $60 for a filing fee. Oh, my goodness. yeah, I watch it all the time, and it just absolutely amazes me. Most people get exactly what they deserve. There's a Supreme Court justice who said once, that most people who are in jail are there because they volunteered to be there.
That's exactly sort of what he's been saying, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I've got a satellite, and I'm listening to you on that now, and I'm right now working on getting an FM transmitter, so hopefully in another week I'll have that going.
Well, I hope so, and I hope there are an awful lot of people who are planning on doing this, because we really can take the airwaves back. We really can seize the information, the method of promulgating information throughout this country. We can seize it from the communist networks, and we can educate the American people. We can tell them the truth, and then they will have the opportunity to either wake up and do something about it or ignore it completely and get what they deserve.
I'm planning on broadcasting on 87.7, which I found most recent receivers will receive. And I've learned that it's part of the just outside the spectrum reserved for Channel 6 TV. It's between Channel 6 and 88, the low end of the spectrum reserved for FM. I was wondering if one of the listeners might check if they've got Channel 6 in their area and see if Channel 6 bleeds over into the area of 87.7. And maybe it might be a frequency that you could broadcast this show on nationwide, which would be kind of neat.
Yeah, it would be neat if we could do it everywhere on the same frequency, but there are places where that would be impossible. In fact, there are places where we can't even broadcast where there's so much activity on the FM bands. But anyway, we're going to do what we can. Thank you for calling.
Well, this is right below the FM band. It's not actually part of it.
Well, that, you know, if that would work, that would be great.
The FM band stops, according to the FCC, at 88. And Channel 6 reserved area stops at 87.5. And this is like 87.7, which is...
But the FM band stops at 88. How would anybody receive it?
Most receivers are built to go down to 87.5, because that's where the...
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, well, that's great. That's great.
So it's kind of just...
Let's investigate that.
I thought that'd be... be something to look into.
Yeah, let's
have Channel 6 in this area, so I can tell you.
Yeah, we'll investigate that. That way we're clean, aren't we? Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good night. You're listening to The Hour of the Time, brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They deal in non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets. Were you aware that for something to be non-confiscatable and non-reportable, it has to have a 15% surcharge above the value of the metal in the coin? And if it doesn't, it is reportable and it is confiscatable. And all these coin dealers that have been telling you that they're selling you non-reportable, non-confiscatable metal coins for 1% or 2% or 3% above cost are leading you down a rosy path. You need to educate yourselves about everything, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot accept anything from anybody as being true. When I tell you to listen to everybody, read everything, believe absolutely nothing until you can prove it in your own research, I mean your own mother is included in that. Might make some of you angry, but by golly, that's exactly the way it is. And the quicker you understand it, the quicker you're going to be able to save yourself. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, and this is the Hour of the Time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, it's Dan from Abilene.
Hi, Dan.
I just want to call and say that last call I was calling in, what is the audio for Channel 6 is actually at 87.75, because I know when I lived in New Orleans, we had a Channel 6 there, and they used to tell the people, you know, that a lot of their radios, they could tune down and actually hear their audio, even though it's in their car, like to hear the news of that.
So where was it? 87.75?
75, yeah, and even though you're, a lot of the new radios will go down to 87.7, so that's close enough, you could hear it pretty good. Well, the only problem might be if you had an area where Channel 6 was on the air, they would be blocking it, you know. Of course, I don't know if the FCC would like it, not that I'm too worried about that, because they don't, you know. If there's no station there, they'd have no way to know it. But anyway, just wanted to let them know on that.
Okay.
That is basically where their audio comes in at. But it, yeah, most of the new receivers, even the new car receivers, will tune down to that.
Well, if the FM band ends at 88, why couldn't we broadcast on 87.8 or 87.9?
Yeah, 87.9 would be better because most of your receivers go in, you know, 0.2 increments, like they'll go 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, you know, like 88.1, 88.3.
Uh-huh.
Like I say, the 7.5 is a little bit off, but it's close enough that you can hear it pretty well.
Yeah.
I remember our Channel 6 over there in New Orleans when I lived over there used to tell everybody you could do it, so. But that is a good idea, yeah, to check that out going down there, especially if you can't get anywhere else. Like you say, some areas are really crowded.
Some areas are totally
Yeah.
overloaded.
Yeah, I'm investigating, like here in Abilene, it's not too much of a trouble, but I'm trying to listen late at night and make sure there's no distance stations. I'd be,
Yeah, you've got to listen for 24 hours on that frequency, and
right.
Sometimes you've got to span several days and make sure that it's perfectly clear.
Yeah.
And just because you hear somebody on that frequency doesn't mean that that you're going to interfere with their broadcast. What you may be getting is the very fringe of their broadcast.
Right.
And FM travels in a straight line, And, you know, you can get directional antennas and broadcast away from that broadcaster. In other words, you could broadcast on the other side.
Right.
And take care of that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some books, too. I can't remember. I need to look it up where you find it, but you can actually contact the group that assigns frequencies, and they can tell you who's assigned in every particular area. In fact, there's an area on the Internet. I was going to get that address and give to you so people could.
Is this Dan P?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I recognized your voice.
But I want to check on that. That could help you, too, or give you an idea of certainly where a licensed station is at, because they should be included on that list if they're a licensed station.
Uh-huh.
At least you could know to get rid of them or to check that out real well.
Yeah. How's the boy?
Doing pretty good.
Great.
I've got him in bed with school on, so he said to tell Pooh hello the other night.
Okay.
After we came back from Nevada, and he woke up later that night after I was talking to you. So.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we'll let you go.
All right.
All right, Bill. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. That's a good idea, you know, if we could hit on like 87.9 and not ping on anybody, that could be the frequency across the country. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
This is Ed from Illinois.
Hello, Ed.
Thanks for your broadcast. I listen on a rebroadcast, a rebroadcast. I really appreciate that.
Who's rebroadcasting?
A friend of mine that has it in the area.
Uh-huh.
Broadcast it out for about a little over a half a mile or so, I suppose.
Okay. That's great.
I picked up on your comment about Jeff Baker. I want to, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
No, just listen to his show. I mean, if anybody calls him and tells him about this, he'll probably stop using the term, but he uses the term fellow traveler all the time, and that's one of their recognition signals.
I see.
And it's obvious that Jeff Baker is a fellow traveler.
That comes from Masonic stuff as well, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Could you, that's interesting. I know him personally. Don't know that much about him, but that's interesting. Anyway, could you give me some information on what you think about Howard Phillips and the Taxpayers Party?
I don't know anything about Howard Phillips, but I'll tell you this. Anybody who would want to be anything labeled taxpayer is absolutely out of their mind. I'm not a taxpayer. See, you can volunteer to be a taxpayer.
Right.
I will not do that. I pay all lawful and constitutional taxes, which I am required to pay. All others, I do not.
Hmm. Yeah, I know that's always been most people's concern about the name of the party.
Well, that's ridiculous. If you join that party, you're saying you're a taxpayer.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in a court of law, that could put you in jail.
Well, that's good enough for me. All right, very good. I appreciate your broadcast, and by all means, do everything you can do to stay on the second hour until enough people catch up to you to keep you going.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Bill. Bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
William Russell Harrison, Houston.
How are you doing? William Russell Harrison.
Harris.
William Russell Harris?
Oh, I said William. This is Russell Harris.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just wondered, has anyone suggested to you that are you aware that you can upload audio files to the Internet?
Yes, and somebody called in and talked about that last night, and I was also talking to someone on the phone about it today.
Okay, I missed out on that. So.
In fact, last night I also talked to Howard Bloom, called me from Pennsylvania late last night, and we talked about it for about a half an hour.
Okay.
I don't know how to do it. The only way it could be done is if somebody out there has a web page and is a computer expert and wants to put the hour of the time on a web page. I'll give them permission to do it, but I need to know who they are and what's on that web page, and what they're doing it for. If anybody's interested, you know, contact me and we'll discuss it.
Space for the audio files would be a little bit expensive because they're rather large, but you could do something like have a week's worth of or 2 weeks worth of tapes on it and rotate them.
Uh-huh.
So that and the quality would be difficult. It would not quite be broadcast quality, but a person could actually download them and rebroadcast them if they could not get you easily on satellite.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. And as long as people could understand them, that's really what matters.
I didn't make a very good...
It couldn't be worse than listening to shortwave.
Oh, no, no.
I remember my shortwave listening days. That's an interactive sport. I mean, you got to be able to turn over, put your head under your left knee, grab the antenna with your little toe while you're holding on to a long stem of grass with one hand and part of the downspout on the house, the drain spout, with the other hand. And somehow you got to hook your hair up to your phone cord. does that sound familiar?
Oh, yes, sir. I didn't do a very good job of making my point the other night regarding antennas for low-power FM, but the reason that a person ought to be concerned is because most antennas waste at least half the power given to them as heat. In other words, if you give a 1 watt to an antenna, you are radiating, in most cases, a half watt or less. So that's why a person really needs to be concerned with the antenna and with efficiency. It's very difficult to get out on a vertical antenna more than about 50% of the power you put into it.
Okay.
So anyway, that's why I've said that it's such an important matter.
Yeah.
Rather than doubling your transmitter power, you can probably get a better signal by improvements to your antenna.
Well, that's great. We've got some technical people working on all of these problems, and Gary Bourgeois is writing a little book that we're going to give to our affiliate people or sell to them or whatever, however way we're going to figure out how to do it.
Okay.
But we're going to do it.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. 520-333-4578. Yeah, we're gonna help our affiliates with as much help as we possibly can. We want them to succeed. If America's going to succeed, then this network has to succeed. That means our affiliates have to succeed. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, William. I've been trying to get a hold of you for a long time.
Hello.
Hello. This is Rod of Fresno.
How you doing?
Good, good. KDNO, by the way, in Central Valley, is going to be where they are rebroadcasting you, taping you from 7 and running it at 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's good.
They're going on worldwide, no audio on the Internet, though.
They're doing what?
They're going on the Internet with real audio worldwide.
With their whole broadcasting schedule?
Yes.
Well, then that takes care of it. We don't have to do it. We'll be on there.
That's right. But what's going to happen is the subcarrier will feed the provider and on our subcarrier, so we can actually run separate programming from our main, from their main carrier.
Uh-huh.
All right? And so hopefully they'll be able to handle it going on at 7 o'clock.
Well, that's great. Are you on a cell phone or something?
I'm on a wireless, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's cutting in and out. But
oh, is it?
Yeah, but we can hear you okay.
Okay. Also, as a hobby, I build these FM transmitters. If anyone needs any help, I can give you my number off the air, and I can help the system with anything they need on that.
Who builds them? You?
Yes.
Well, why don't, have you written me a letter?
No, I haven't.
Write me a letter. Tell me who you are, what you build.
All right.
And
I can do that. And also, I have an experience dating back to the early 80s. On the FCC, people want to be very careful with that, using those units, especially with their so-called forfeiture laws, you know.
Well, I got to tell you right now, that's absolutely wrong. If you're doing the right thing and you're not broadcasting over a state line or an international boundary or a body of water on which a ship can...
I've had federal marshals...
That's because you didn't know what to tell them or how to react to what they did or what papers to file in court, right?
That's correct.
That is absolutely correct. So you've got to make sure that when you make a statement like what you did, you say that you got in trouble because you were ignorant.
Right. That was back in the early 80s. So people need to be informed, though, on how to be prepared is what I'm trying to say.
That's right.
All right, that's all. And if you'll give your address again, I can take it down.
It's Harvest, P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona.
Harvest.
Harvest,
mm-hmm.
P.O. Box 1970,
uh-huh.
Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. 85925.
Okay. All right.
You've got a radio on behind you or something.
Yeah, I'm moving around. I came back inside.
Okay.
So I'll get off the line.
All right.
And write your letter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good work.
Folks, don't let anybody scare you into failing to do what you know you need to do. We've got to set up this network of low-power broadcasters all across the country. We've got to have hundreds of thousands if we can possibly get them. And we cannot be afraid. And if you understand jurisdiction, if you understand what you're doing, if you understand the FCC's charter, if you understand and have been receiving Veritas, we've given you all the points of law. If you've been listening to this broadcast, you know all of that stuff. All you have to do now is learn how to apply it so that they can't come with their Nazi, jackbooted, stormtrooping, socialist thugs and intimidate you and destroy you and steal all your property and those kinds of things. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ben from Michigan, or from Indiana.
Hi, Ben.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Talking about the symbolism with the Illuminati and the Freemasonry,
uh-huh.
And the pyramid with the all-seeing eye on the dollar bill, that's symbolism for them.
Sure.
Now, you ever seen the little owl on the $1 bill?
Yes.
Have anything to do with that?
Well, of course. I've got a picture of four living presidents dressed in black robes with swastikas hanging around their necks, bowing down to a fire with a little owl sitting up in a tree at the what you call it place out in California where they meet.
Oh, I see. I was curious about that, and you know, I'm not as informed as you are on these subjects.
Yeah, the owl is a symbol of wisdom, Gnosticism, the intellect, the gift of fire from Lucifer, the knowledge of good and evil, all of that stuff.
I appreciate you helping me out on that. And I'm glad that you moved your show up to an earlier spot, because lately I've been having to go to bed kind of early because
yeah.
I got to get up to school the next day.
Oh, I meant to tell you guys, I got the nicest, sweetest letter from George McClintock of WWCR today, saying that there has been some misunderstanding, and he really meant to offer me an earlier time slot so I could have 2-hour broadcasts and all this bullshit. And George McClintock, you're a bald-faced liar, and you're going to get a letter back from me that's going to set you straight, and I'm going to send a copy to the board of directors, the chairman of the board of directors of WWCR, and the president of WWCR. They need to get rid of you. You're the worst thing that could ever happen to that station. So, anyway, had to get that off my chest. Meant to tell you all about it a little bit earlier.
More power to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
520-333-4578. If they laid WWCR down at my feet, I wouldn't go back to WWCR after what they did. That is the most despicable, lying, manipulating management staff that I have ever seen in my life. They do not deserve good programming. They don't even deserve good listeners. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening. My name is Mike. I'm calling South Florida.
Uh-huh.
A first-time caller. I've been listening to you for a few months.
You a little nervous, Mike?
Yeah.
I can tell it in your voice. Just relax. We're all folks here. As long as you're nice and got something nice to talk about. Everything's fine.
I wanted to. There goes my cuckoo clock. I'm sorry. It's my bedroom. I wanted to ask your opinion on how much liquidity the Feds have added since, like, July 1st.
What do you mean by liquidity?
Well, the Feds have been propping up the stock market, and my mom, she's out of the market, but the thing is that they've been adding liquidity to prop up.
What do you mean when you say adding liquidity? What does that mean?
Well, from what I understand, when the stock market goes down like 50 points and they put these trading curves on, the Fed comes in to prop up the market. I don't really know where the money's coming from. I have a feeling it's outside the country. It's to stabilize the market.
Well, what you're talking about is they're just pumping money into the market.
Right, right.
Yeah, don't use that term liquidity. I'm not sure that that's the term that you need to be using there.
Well, that's what they call it.
Well,
or pumping the money up. I've heard that they've been. Have you had any numbers on, is it about $200 billion that they've added since July 1st because the market's that bad?
I have no idea, but I can tell you this. That market is so inflated above any conception of any real value in any of those stocks that is absolutely amazing to anyone who understands how the stock market works that it's still there. That it just is beyond belief. And the only way that it can still be there and still be functioning and still be climbing like it does is if they're just pumping money into it, just to pump money into it for no other reason.
Because question. One last question. What do you think of your personal opinion on these Eric Mattson court procedural tapes?
I've never heard them. Eric Mattson?
Mattson?
Eric Mattson? I've never heard them. Never even heard the name before.
He's a constitutional governor of the state of Colorado.
Constitutional governor of the state of Colorado? What does that mean?
That's the term, I think, that they use.
Is he the governor of the state of Colorado?
He's not the one that the corporation has put in.
And then right there, I would tell you to ignore anything that guy has to say. Just because of that, nothing else. If he's calling himself a governor of a state that he is not the governor of, then he's no better than those people down in Texas calling themselves the Republic of Texas when they got no republic to be the republic for.
Yeah, it's like the same type of terminology.
Same thing. Anytime you hear that kind of wacko, ridiculous stuff, you're dealing with folks who are not dealing with reality. They're tilting it at windmills.
I thank you a lot.
You're welcome.
You have a great night.
You too.
God bless you.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. We got time for one real quick call. Maybe not even that. Maybe we don't have time for one quick fact. I don't think we do. So I'm just going to sign off here. Good night, folks. And God bless each and every single one of you.
Country road on the wind, it comes to call, and it sings in the farms and the factory towns, and where you think there'd be no song at all. And the words are the words that our fathers said as they whistled down the years, and the name of the song is the name of the dream, and it's music to our ears. America, America. And the dream goes on. America, America. And the dream goes on. The words that we read on the courthouse walls are the words that make us free. And the more we remember the way we began, the closer we get to the best we can be. Was there ever a time we forgot its worth, all the struggles and the scars? If we leave to the children a sky full of hope and a flag that's filled with stars. America, America, and the dream goes on.
You have been listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.